I'm David Gibson. Today, I'm at the Catholic University of America visiting Dr. Stephen Schneck, a political scientist who is director of the Life Cycle Institute, a center for the study of Catholic social thought and public policy. We'll be talking about the common good, what the common good is, and why anyone should care about it. Dr. Schneck, you have said that the common good is a hard notion for contemporary Americans to understand. What makes this hard to understand? And do you include Catholics among those who find this difficult to understand?
It's a really good question, David. Just to answer your last question first, I think American Catholics have a hard time understanding the common good. We've been a big part of the United States for the last 150 years, and over the course of that 150 years, American Catholics have assimilated in ways of understanding approaches to the public square. And so as Americans generally understand approaches to the public square to begin with me, the individual, and my rights and my interests, my private interests and so forth, that way of thinking, which is so American, is a way of thinking that's a little bit at tension with the idea of the common good. The common good is about all of us together as a community. A community understood as the nation, a community understood as the church, or in the larger sense, a community understood as all human beings of all times and all places, what Sister Angelica back in the third grade called the mystical body of Christ, perhaps. And so, approaching the public square from the perspective of the common good, you know, while it's deeply rooted in traditional Catholic thinking, is a notion that for Americans, both Catholics and non-Catholics, is a hard notion to get.
So how do you define the term common good? Exactly what is this? It's so big in Catholic discussions today, but do we know what it means?
Well, of course, the simplest questions are the hardest questions. You know, the common good requires thinking about us all as part of a common body, as it were. We're all part of a common, maybe family might be the better word. It's that strong sense of community. And so we need to see ourselves not so much as individuals possessed of private interests, but rather as participants in a common project, the good of which is the good for all of us. And we would like to think that, you know, ultimately, you know, what is good for where I can best flower and shine as an individual, it would be in a setting where the good of all is the primary concern. So, as the name suggests, the common good is the good of the whole, the good of all, the good of all of us in community.
This is a question that I like to ask in some of my work as a journalist. If you were invited to speak to a group of about 75 Catholics in a parish one Sunday evening, and you were asked to discuss the common good, what point above all, what single point would you most like to the people in your audience to get from you? What would you most want them to understand?
It's funny, I can see this. They're all seated on folding chairs in the church basement, and I've got the Social Concerns Committee on one side and the Pro-Life Committee on the other side. And what would I want to tell them? What would I like them to take from this? Well, I think more than anything else, what I'd like to take, to take from this is an understanding of all of us being part of a common project in a really strong and rich sense. We're all part of a community, and not separated by our interests into pro-life or social concerns or all the other interests that we see in America. We're all part of a common project, and we need to see our role as part of this whole, and not divided into our interests and special concerns.
So, if we see ourselves as part of the whole, does this mean we have to give something up to participate fully in forming the common good?
In a way it does. You know, in a way it does. It calls us to transcend our narrow self-interest. I mean, in one way, we can kind of, even as Americans, get at this when we think in patriotic terms. You know, we talk, for example, about our men and women in uniform as servicemen and women. That is, and we recognize that what they're sacrificing are their private interests for all of us in some kind of a patriotic fashion. In the same way, we're all called in a way to be servicemen and women, and not just to the nation, of course, you know, but to the church and, as I said before, to this, you know, broader understanding of the common good. And so, yes, it does require a bit of sacrifice. It requires us to rise above, you know, our narrow concerns and think about the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm. Is there something that you think people tend to leave out or to overlook when it comes to talking about the common good? And why would that matter? In other words, what are the consequences when we misunderstand the common good, when we don't? When we think we're acting for the common good, but we really aren't?
Tough question. Well, of course, the biggest misunderstanding would be to imagine that this idea of the common good in any way conflicts with cherished notions like individual rights and liberties, or you know, ways of approaching you know, public life, you know, from the perspective of the individual. It ought not conflict. And sometimes it's presented as if there's some kind of tension between these two things. Rising above our self-interests doesn't mean that I lose myself in some kind of, you know, giant organic maw community. Instead, you find yourself most strongly as an individual in that kind of service. Just as I, you know, to go back to my language of servicemen and women, you know, servicemen and women do have a very strong sense of personal fulfillment in that kind of in that service. And in the same way, I would argue that all of our cherished individual rights and liberties are just, if anything, made shinier by our ability to transcend self-interest and you know, get the big picture.
I notice you use the word service, and that's a word that I hear all the time in discussions of Catholic Church activity in society, in the public realm. Sometimes it seems to me that service can be whatever we say it is. We can, you know, we can do whatever we want to do and call it service, and if other people don't see it that way, is it just their problem? I mean, what does it really mean to serve in the public realm, to serve the common good, with an accent on the word serve?
Well, I guess, you know, ultimately it's a Christian value. It means, to a certain extent, that the last shall be first. I mean, when one serves, one engages is maybe a big part of serving. One adopts a certain degree of humility, and that means stepping away from a kind of a self-righteousness and you know, an absolute sense of your own private, you know, possession of the truth and so forth. I mean, it really does require putting on a you know, a cloak of humility and lowering yourself to you know, to give to others. And it seems to me that service ultimately is about that kind of humility. I don't mean that in a kind of a wishy-washy, you know, a sense that you're weak or that you're, you know, not, you know, not capable of standing up to evil or something like that. But nevertheless, I think that really being a servant means putting others ahead of yourself.
Wow, that's great. So a humble person is well positioned to serve the common good then.
Yeah. As long as we understand by, you know, humble, I don't necessarily mean weak or laxity or something like that. It seems to me humility is its own powerful strength.
Great. Thank you. You know, the economic crisis that we're weathering right now is a pretty pretty tough load to carry for a lot of people. It's taken a big toll on many people's lives. Some church leaders not only have described this crisis as a moral issue, but have expressed the view that it has roots in the evils of greed and a lack of concern for the common good on the part of some leaders in the financial world. Is the economic crisis a true issue of the common good, and how is it?
Well, first of all, it is clearly a moral issue. Anyone who looks at the implications of the economic crisis, its impact on families, its impact on everything from, you know, abortion rates to, you know, the quality of health care for people in our society, have to realize just how profound a moral question this economic crisis poses to us all. So it's definitely that. I sympathize to a certain extent, you know, with those who argue that the roots of this economic crisis, you know, can be, you know, laid at the feet of a kind of a greedy, self-interested attitude that has lost sight of the common good. I think that to a certain extent that's true. But I also recognize, you know, that in a good portion of this economic disaster that we're faced comes from policy failures of our government, lack of oversight by aspects of our government, members of Congress, say, members of the Security and Exchange Commission, and so on and so forth. You know, so there are clear institutional causes to this as well. It's lots of people have called it a perfect storm. I see it as a perfect storm as well. But from my perspective, the terrible problem that's resulted from this perfect storm is this awful moral tragedy that America is facing.
Thank you. The economic crisis is something that I follow quite a bit in my writing for this website. There are other leading issues of concern in the church today when it comes to addressing the common good in the public and in the political realm. I mean, is there anything new in this picture at this time? And what are some of the main issues that concern the church when it comes to discussing the common good today?
Well, of course, the focus of the institutional church in the United States rightly has to be on all of the culture of life questions. These would be at the top of the list, of course, the terrible tragedy of abortion, but you know, a whole range from questions of marriage and questions of family and so on and so forth. It's a very broad range. In general, the church is currently approaching these problems from a perspective, though, that seems to be emphasizing a language of rights and a language of okay, can we stop here? I need to rethink about that just a little bit. I apologize, David. I don't know how we do that. Right? Maybe Gene can edit it.